I have a reading from the playwright Ntozake Shange. The play is entitled For Colored Girls Who Have Considered Suicide When the Rainbow Is Enough. She writes, I sat up one night walking a boarding house, screaming, crying, the ghost of another woman who was missing what I was missing. I wanted to jump up out of my bones and be done with myself, leave me alone and go on in the wind. It was too much. I fell into a numbness till the only tree I could see took me up in her branches, held me in the breeze, made me dawn dew that chill at daybreak. The sun wrapped me up, swinging rose light everywhere. The sky laid over me like a million men. I was cold. I was burning up, a child, and endlessly weaving garments for the moon with my tears. I found God in myself. And I loved her. I loved her fiercely. I invite you to sing together, number 1007, and the words are up on the screen. There's a river flowing in my soul. So much good music. Thank you. Well, she didn't mean to get lost. Really, she didn't. And in fact, she wasn't. She knew precisely where she was, and it was exactly where she was supposed to be, on the bus with a group of tourists exploring Iceland's southern volcanic region of Elkjö. She'd been hiking all day. She was feeling tired, dusty. So it was only natural that when her bus stopped at that rest area, she took advantage of the opportunity to step into the bathroom, freshen up, and change her clothes. When she got back on the bus, she felt like a different woman. She also looked like a different woman. In fact, she looked so unlike the person who had stepped off that bus that some of the other passengers started to worry. What had happened to the grimy woman in the old t-shirt? They looked up and down. They didn't see her. So they told the bus driver he had to go back. Somebody was missing. He put on the brakes and he waited for a good hour, but nobody else turned up. So they called the police in Kvosulish, who radioed the search and rescue team, Concerned passengers described an Asian woman between 20 and 30 wearing dark clothing, and it must have been a pretty poor description, because the woman standing right next to them the entire time never for a moment guessed they were talking about her. Before it was over, 50 people had joined in the search effort on foot and in vehicles, the police ready to rescue, helicopter, but the fog had grown thicker, the light too dark, and there was no sign of anyone on the trails. Along with a few of the other tourists, the missing woman lent a hand, but she couldn't find anyone either. By 3 in the morning, officials had stopped to consider their next step, fearing the worst. They took stock from the beginning, trying to recreate exactly what had happened. And this was when they realized that the person they had been searching for had been searching with them all along. The resulting headline, "Woman Accidentally Joins Search Party Looking for Herself," made world news. And I thought, there's got to be a sermon in that one. People are always working on finding themselves. Best-selling memoirs and self-help books get written on the topic. Oprah talks about this all the time, or so I'm told. It's a multi-million-dollar industry. But I think about the woman in that Icelandic search party, and I have to wonder, if we were to come face to face with ourselves, would we ever recognize the person standing before us? Would we know, this is me? How would we perceive ourselves if we were to meet along the road? If we went looking for ourselves, whose description would we use? Would we recognize our own description? Unitarian Universalists base much of our way of being religious on a free and responsible search for truth and meaning. But when we talk about that, we have a tendency to focus on the world outside of us. We gather wisdom from the world's religions. We seek to experience the wonders of the universe both widely and deeply. We reach out to others, sharing with them the wisdom and insights we found and learning from them the wisdom and insights that they carry. But a search for truth and meaning cannot be completely fulfilled or fulfilling if we neglect the search inside ourselves. It isn't enough to ask, do I agree with thus and such a theological position? Nor is it enough to say, I feel comfortable as a Christian or a humanist or a pagan or a Buddhist. The truths we find externally mean nothing unless they connect with something deeply held and honored internally. And I mean something more than an opinion. In order for the search outside of us to be meaningful, it has to resonate with the depth of who we are. I think that the reason our Unitarian Universalist way of being in the world makes so much sense is that people are different. There's no truth, no revelation of the sacred, no experience of God or wonder or wisdom that comes to us unfiltered. As soon as we touch anything with any of our senses, we take it into ourselves and we shape it our own way. No two people experience reality alike. How we understand the world has as much to do with the people we are as it does with the reality outside of us. And that means that if we want to find truth, we need to search not only the words and practices of the world's great spirits, but also the hearts of ourselves. Without that kind of understanding, all of the wisdom that we find, all of the teachings and experiences of mind and spirit remain intellectual and without purpose. Without it, we can grow more knowledgeable, but not wiser. With an understanding of who we are, we open ourselves to honest growth and the path towards wholeness. Now, it's very easy to talk about finding yourself. I once read a fantasy novel in which a character becomes trapped between two mirrors, images of herself extending infinitely into the beyond, and the only way she can escape is to say which one is the real her. She shrugs, says, "This one," and walks away. What would you say if a stranger were to ask, "Who are you?" Would you tell them your name? Would you describe what you do for a living or what you used to do for a living? Would you talk about your personal background? Would you describe yourself physically? Would you talk about how other people see you? Would you come up with a series of labels? What would you say? There are so many ways we might answer the question. I could describe myself as a minister, a folk singer, a father and husband, the child of my parents, the grandchild and great-grandchild of my ancestors. I could describe myself as a white man raised in a certain culture, the product of a suburban liberal upbringing in the Washington, D.C. area in the 1970s and 80s. I could talk about the things I think I'm good at, or the things I think I'm not. I could tell someone I'm an ENFP, but they still wouldn't know me. I don't know that any amount of data could honestly answer the question, who am I? Now, we all tell stories about ourselves, to ourselves, and sometimes to other people. Sometimes those stories reflect the person we are, but sometimes they reflect the person others have told us they think we are. If we're told often enough we're a certain way, or that we're not good at something, or that we're a certain kind of person, sooner or later we're likely to believe it, whether it's true or not. Unpacking all of that can sometimes mean going into some rough territory. The poet Diego Valeri once said, "If you're going to go into the depths of the self, prepare to go armed to the teeth." There are layers within us. Experiences we've had, our joys, our pain, our vulnerability, all jumbled together. Sometimes it's too much. It becomes overwhelming. Parts of ourselves we have kept safely hidden away begin to emerge, and we may not know how to deal with them. The playwright, born Paulette Williams, understood the spiral of pain that comes from a sense of self damaged by constant messages of inadequacy. As a black woman growing up in the 1950s, she became bitter. And by the time she was 20, she had tried to end her life multiple times and in multiple ways. But somehow, at some point, something shifted within her. A sense of defiance, perhaps, a discovery of who she was, a spiritual awakening of herself and to herself. She took the Xhosa name Ntozake, meaning she who comes with her own things, and the Zulu Shange, meaning she who walks like a lion. For too long, Ntozake Shange had looked to other people for her sense of worth, society, her parents, lovers. "I was missing something," she wrote in her masterpiece play for colored girls who have considered suicide when the rainbow is enough. Something promised, something free, a laying on of hands, not a man, not my mama. I sat up one night in a boarding house, screaming, crying, I wanted to jump up out of my bones and be done with myself. Leave me alone and go on in the wind. It was too much. In the depth of all of that pain, she found something even deeper. It wasn't courage exactly, or some definite answer to every question. Instead, she talked of the tree outside her window in that squalid boarding house, of allowing it to take her and hold her in the breeze. She talked of the sun emergent and of tears which turned to healing. I found God in myself, and I loved her. I loved her fiercely. And the cast of the play repeats, I found God in myself and I loved her. I found God in myself and I loved her. It becomes a dance. This is the journey within, the search for self. When we open ourselves to that search, whether it is easy for us or hard, we open ourselves to the divinity within. We open ourselves to the realization that just as this living universe is sacred, so too are we. All of those labels we take on, all of the roles we adopt are merely dim reflections of the sacred truth inside us. They're mirrors of a sort, portraying us in merely two dimensions. None reflects the truth and complexity of the human soul. For that, we need to look within, find the holiness inside ourselves, lift our heads and say, this one, this is me. This is who I am. The divine is at my core, and I am filled with love. Imagine the power of that awakening for the transgender teenager. Imagine the power of that awakening for the survivor of abuse. Imagine the power of that awakening for the bullied child. But it's more than that. Imagine the power of that awakening for you. The truth of your life is no less significant than that of any other. Your path has known love and hardship and joy and redemption. Your path has known loss and giving and untold turns, choices and revelations. Search inside yourself and uncover the divinity within. And when you've done that, when you've been through that kind of experience, whether for you it happened all at once or in many small awakenings, or again and again as you've moved through your life, when you've been through that, you can begin to live more and more from the core depth of your soul, the authentic you. That doesn't mean everything about you has to hang out in public all the time. And it doesn't give you license to excuse every little social foible. I'm sorry, tempting though it might be, but it's deeper than that. From this point, you begin to ask the sacred questions. Who am I called to be? How do I feel I should live? How will I treat other people? How will I treat myself? What gifts do I bring to this life? What gifts have I discovered? The search for self never ends. Instead, it becomes the foundation for all our seeking and all our living. It shapes the spiritual paths we embrace, the love we are able to give, and the meaning we find in this wonderful and infinite universe. The light we find within becomes the light we bring to others, and in its holiness, the world becomes more bright.